Today, this morning, Christians around the world have gathered in places like this one to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We sit here safe, secure without worry. But word has already reached me that in the nation of Sri Lanka, there are 160 Christians whose church was blown up because they gathered to praise the Lord. I think we need to have a moment of silent prayer when we just pray God thanks for the morning. We give God thanks for the church, and we pray that this world will become a sane place again, not racked with the torment that it is today. Pray just silently. We thank you that you are present in this place, that Christians the world over are comforted with your presence this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, every year, for the last 2,000 years or so, Christians have gathered annually to celebrate the events of Easter. To us, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, the most blessed truth, the best news that can ever be heard in our lifetimes, no matter where we are in the world, is this: He lives. Jesus Christ arose. But to others, this is the greatest hoax ever worked in all of history. On their side, being fair to them, they have with them in the argument the weight of all logic and all science. You ready for this one? Just so you hear it from me. Dead people do not come back to life. They stay dead. Not even Jesus, according to the logic of this world and the science of it. But against that, against all science and against all logic, these are the facts. Fact number one, initially, the followers of Jesus did not believe that he had risen. Did it appear up there? Yeah. Write it down, it's fact. The followers of Jesus initially did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. The story is very clear about it. The women who went to the tomb the first Easter Sunday morning went to the tomb to anoint the dead body of Jesus, to prepare it for burial. They did not go expecting to find an empty tomb. When they found an empty tomb, their assumption was that somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. They raced back to tell the other disciples that the body of Jesus had been taken from the tomb. They did not believe that Jesus Christ had risen. That thought never entered their minds. And when the disciples heard the news from the women that Jesus' body was missing, they raced back to the garden tomb, finding it just as the women had told them it was, empty. The body of Jesus was gone. And the assumption was that Jesus' body had been stolen from the tomb. The text read to you just a moment ago says that they believed what they saw with their eyes. The tomb was indeed empty. They believed the incredulous report of the women. The tomb was empty because somebody had taken the body of Jesus. It had been stolen. Now, I just want to make this clear to you. If you are going to work a hoax on the world, you do not start from the assumption that your hoax is untrue. From the beginning, you present the hoax as being true. Ask anybody in Washington. They will tell you. Fact number two, the grave clothes. I love this part. See, when Peter and John looked into the tomb, they saw that the linen cloth which had been placed over Jesus' face had been removed from his body and carefully folded up and laid aside neatly. It was as if it had been taken off of Jesus' face with great care. Now, I just want you to know, grave robbers might have removed the cloth. Maybe. They may have taken the cloth off Jesus' face so that they could be sure they were actually getting the body of Jesus. But they would never have taken time to fold up the face cloth and to lay it aside neatly. And it would have been gone. But then, Peter and John saw the grave clothes. These were strips of linen cloth which had been wrapped around the body of Jesus. They saw those grave clothes laying there in the tomb as if the body of Jesus was still inside them. The body had been removed. But it was as if Jesus' body had been sucked out of the grave clothes. Now, quite honestly, how do you do that? I mean, how do you manage to get a dead body out of a cocoon of strips of linen without disturbing the grave clothes? And even better, why would you bother? If your intention was to steal the body, would you strip it naked first? And even if you did strip it naked, how would you suck it out of the grave clothes so that they were left undisturbed? Sucking a dead man out of those strips of linen cloth which bound his body was simply impossible. Fact number three, there were eyewitness reports of people who saw Jesus alive. Those reports began with Mary Magdalene. She stayed in the garden crying when the others had left because she was so distraught by the idea that someone had stolen Jesus' body. And as she stood there crying, Jesus came to her and asked her why she was crying. And she said to him, "Because they have taken away the body of my Lord, and I do not know where they have put it." She was speaking to Jesus, but she did not recognize him through her tears because she had no expectation of seeing him alive. But when he tenderly spoke her name, she knew him. She told the disciples what she had seen. Him, Jesus, alive. And they thought her foolish. They thought her foolish because they had no idea that Jesus would rise from the dead until after he appeared to them too. They were hiding in fear, the scripture says, when he came to them in the upper room. He appeared to the men on the road to Emmaus. Like the others, they did not know him at first. They only recognized him when he began to break the bread and basically shared the Last Supper with them again. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus appeared risen from the dead to over 500 people. He appeared to these people so that they could be eyewitnesses to the fact that he was risen. Now, they saw him alive, and they were willing to bear testimony that they saw him alive. Now, let me just put it to you this way. If you were on trial for murder, and 500 eyewitnesses came forward and said they saw you do it, do you think the jury would have any trouble convicting you? What's wrong with the world in which we live that they will ignore the eyewitness testimony of more than 500 people? You know what the facts show? Jesus is risen. Oh, I know what the skeptics said then, and I can hear them right now. This is just a carefully worked hoax, they say. Jesus' disciples worked all this out. Those sneaky guys had it all planned. They went to the tomb. They managed to overpower Roman soldiers. And they stole the body of Jesus in order to fool the whole world. It's all just one big hoax worked on humanity to deceive us all. But folks, look again at the facts. Not the ones I gave you, but some new ones. Fact number one, Jesus' disciples were 11, discounting Judas because he was dead. 11 uneducated men. Judas was probably the best educated of the bunch, and he was, as I said, dead. So you're going to tell me that 11 guys who didn't even have a college education were able to work a hoax on the whole world? Fact number two, they had no method of mass communication available to them back then. The pastor didn't have to tell them to turn off their cell phones because they didn't have any. How were they going to get this thing spread over the whole world without any means of mass communication? Fact number three, they had to convince the world to believe the illogical, that Jesus was the only person in the whole history of the world who had managed to come back from the dead. Fact number four, for 300 years, the governments of the world persecuted Christians. For 300 years, the movement Christianity was violently opposed by governments and the world's major religions. Those who propagated the story were violently persecuted. But still, the story spread. Ask yourself, just honestly ask yourself, why men would be so devoted to spreading a false story. I know. Because it brought them riches and fame. To tell the story, they gave up everything. Their families, their businesses, even their wealth if they had any. They suffered torture and hardship, and many of them died cruel, agonizing deaths. It brought them no wealth. It gave them no fame. But they continued to tell the story. Why? Because it is true. They told it because they knew beyond all doubt that Jesus was alive and that he offered life to everyone who would believe. Now, I know that there are other great world religions. And I know that some people say that they all point to God. But there are two essential differences between those religions and Christianity. Difference number one is this: none of them has a living founder. Great Moses died. All the patriarchs and prophets of Judaism are dead. Mohammed is said to have ascended into the presence of God without death, but I'm going to tell you the truth. He died. Confucius is dead. Only Jesus Christ is alive. He left evidence of his resurrection, which is irrefutable: an empty tomb, grave clothes, and eyewitnesses. Only Jesus is alive. And difference number two: all of the others left behind a great code of behavior for their followers to practice. Moses left us the holy law. The others wrote down great codes for men to follow that men might be good. But Jesus never wrote a word. He left behind no great system of rules whereby men might become self-justified. Jesus said, "Believe in me, and you will be saved." Every other system fails because we are not good enough. Jesus said, "Just trust me, and I will save you." Do you see it? All the other religious systems fail because they are based in the ability of men to be good. And every woman knows that no man can be good. Christianity is totally different. It's based on a different concept. There is a different truth at its heart. Its root is not the goodness of humanity, but the love of Almighty God. He said in his word, "I love you so much that I give you Jesus, my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes the story of Jesus, whoever believes in him, may have eternal life." And folks, God, in his wisdom, trusted this message to the likes of us. He trusted that great message to the likeness of flesh, to the weakness of flesh. We, you and me, we are the evidence, the witness to the truth. We declare to the world on this Sunday morning that Jesus is alive, and that because we of him, we have been changed by the touch of the Master's hand. Like all of our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, for more than 2,000 years, today we proclaim the truth again: he is risen. Jesus is alive.